The BC Lions. CFL season set upon us. We're going to have some CFL previews. Our good buddy of the show from the Vancouver Province, Lowell Ulrich, joins us once again. Lowell, how are you?
Good afternoon. Are you trying to tell me that there's going to be a few more palatial hotel suites available the next little while in Edmonton and Vancouver and a few other places?
I think there's a good shot there might be.
Well, I'll keep that in mind as I make my booking plans here for the training camp around the CFL as we go a look around. Quite a big story, that's for sure.
Oh, that is a monumental story. It's not completely surprising. I don't think. I think what's surprising is to the level it went. Like some guys, as much as $10 million individually, they're pocketing. Like that's, you know, that this isn't just chump change here. You're talking, life altering change.
Isn't it funny that the things that we all suspect as fans and as observers sometimes actually do come to fruition? Some of these things that you've thought that go on actually did occur, or at least or have alleged to occurred until I guess they're proven in a court of law.
The BC Lions, I guess the big question is going to be quarterback. How's it looking right now health-wise?
Well, how's it looking health-wise for Travis Lulay? Well, he says he's ready to go. He says he's 100%. That said, they're going to guide him through training camp. And, for BC Lions fans, that sounds particularly ominous or at least similar to that what took place last year when they tried to sort of nurse him through camp, and it should have changed abruptly within almost a day of its start, and it was apparent that Kevin Glenn had to take over. So what's happening with the Lions is quarterback roulette. I mean, at one point this week, Jason, they had at least 9 quarterbacks around the table at their quarterback school in Surrey under their new head or new offensive coordinator, George Cortez, including a non-counting transfer. That's a lot of understudies and a lot of people starting to say, well, wait a minute, if you're committed to Travis Lulay, why do you have all these other quarterbacks around?
Yeah, and it clearly showed that there's some concern over Lulay's long-term ability to stay healthy.
Well, I guess what's happening is that because they have a new head coach in Jeff Tedford and his reputation with to be able to develop quarterbacks precedes him, the Lions are letting him get every opportunity there is in the manners in which they occur in the CFL for him to sort of identify the next guy. And part of that is the quarterback school that all teams around the CFL are allowed to take part. Part of that is the rookie camp, which for the Lions starts tomorrow up in Kamloops. And then, after 2 days, Jeff Tedford has to at least cut some of them before, it becomes ridiculous. You can't have that many quarterbacks. And at least you try to whittle them down a little bit further from the start of camp. So a lot of hand-wringing going on because not everybody's sure how the quarterbacking for the Lions is ultimately going to play out.
Who do you see as the best candidate to replace him?
Well, it's kind of hard to know. I mean, last year it was Kevin Glenn, and he's now moved on to Saskatchewan. John Beck was the number 3-2 guy, I guess, and early a host of other young, unpromising, and not well thought of or known commodities. Much like the Eskimos and every other team has, you bring them up, you give them a chance, and you try to figure it out. I guess philosophically, what you have to sort of try and establish is, okay, Lulay goes down, what are you going to do? And you got rid of Kevin Glenn. It probably means that John Beck is, even though he's 34 and hasn't had much experience, but he got into games last year for the Lions, and did okay. That'd probably be someone that they'd feel more comfortable hanging their hat on. But then who do you have to identify one or two of those young guys. Well, a lot of people thought it was going to be Jordan Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers' brother. Well, that didn't materialize. Jordan Rodgers decided he was going to no longer continue to play because he's 27 and there's a whole host of 23 and 24-year-olds around camp right now. So, you know what? Right now, at this point, you'd be just throwing darts at a name, and you'd be better. You'd have a better chance trying to identify them until they get on the field, and we can all see for ourselves who probably should stand next in line.
Now they have 7 quarterbacks listed right now on their roster. Are they going to actually go through all 7 at training camp?
No, they're going to go through 4. In 2 days, they're probably not going to get on the field Saturday, but they'll have 2 practice sessions in Kamloops, and that's going to be it for 2 of them, probably. They're probably going to get it down that far. Jeff Tedford, the coach, said that he probably thought it would be probably along the lines of 5 go to camp, but I guess if you're not sure, you know, you have a little bit of latitude. But remember, all teams are supposed to come to the party with the same 68-man roster plus draft picks, and so the Lions are under some constraints, and they're going to have to make some cuts here in the next couple of days.
Well, Ulrich from the Vancouver Province joins us, talking a little Lions preview. The Lions, not many people on the draft board, and it's so hard when it comes to offensive linemen. You know, depending on who you talk to and where you would rate, you know, the different offensive linemen. Some thought maybe they reached a little early at number five. What did you think?
Well, I think that was conventional thinking, but it was thinking that was brought on by the Lions themselves, who did the usual smokescreen type of job. Wally Buono sort of saying, well, you know what, the strength of the draft, like everybody else was suggesting, that you know, they would go offensive line because there were so many of them, when all along he had his eyes on the player that he chose. And I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his name yet. I'm going to leave that to experienced professionals like you to do it, because I only have to type his name. S.A. Is his first name. He's from Wilfrid Laurier, and he's their first-round pick. And as a defensive lineman, the Lions were going to have are committing to a second Canadian on defense as a ratio breaker, and they feel determined that between Jabbar Westerman and David Bennard, who came on a little bit last year, Westerman getting a contract extension, they could get a second Canadian if they started Chris Rabakumba, who, of course, the Eskimos fans know as having played there in Edmonton the last little bit. He comes over as a free agent, and it looks like he's going to get J.R. LaRosa's job in the middle of the secondary.
When I look at the offensive line, that was one of the concerns last season for the BC Lions, Lowell. There's no doubt about it. Has their O-line improved, or do they still got a lot of question marks? Like, if right now, could you pick who the starting five are?
I think I'd have a pretty good shot at it. I mean, you're probably going the tackles being Hunter Stewart, who had a very good rookie season. Probably would have been their rookie nominee had he not gotten hurt. And Jovan Olafoye over on the other side. They'll probably go Canadian at the two guard spots, Kirby Fabian being odds on there, and probably still Dean Valley, although, you know, he's now entering his 10th year, and people would say that's long in the tooth, and there are enough candidates behind him to be pushed. I think they're going to try and go American at center, and that's where I think you're seeing, and what a lot of people were seeing, Jason, was the sort of deficiency on the Lions' offensive front. Matt Norman regressed. I don't think there's any question about that last year. So Jeff Tedford identifying that as a potential import spot. And, you know, they have ways to break the ratio favorably for them, because on the receiving core this past offseason, they signed Austin Colley, late of the Indianapolis Colts, and a non-import by definition. So they can, you know, they have a chance to sort of break the ratio, if you will, by having an American at center. So they think they're better off by doing it that way. But I guess training camp remains to be seen whether or not the guards hold up to play and make them a better team.
That's a great point on Austin Colley. I think a lot of people think Indianapolis Colts and don't realize he was born in Ontario. So he is the Canadian receiver, national, whatever you want to talk, call it. I still hate that word. But the defense front seven of BC has been good for a long time. Obviously, Big Hill in the linebacking core is outstanding, and the Beast, who everybody calls it, you know, Aluminium. Those two combined are exceptional. Is that still, in your mind, the front seven, the strength of this BC team? And is Tedford going to build his defense to accentuate that front seven?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's too much change there, Jason. Yeah, those two guys were arguably, I know that people in Edmonton will probably disagree to some extent, but at least last year anyways, Big Hill and Aluminium, I think, were the best tandem, or at least right up there among them. I mean, the Lions, that said, did not have the defensive push that you need to be successful in this league. It certainly wasn't nearly as good as that what the Eskimos had. Eric Taylor and Khalif Mitchell started the year. Eric Taylor and Khalif Mitchell are on other teams starting this year. So that tells you that there's a couple positions that are wide, wide open, and they have, at my last count, and it seems to change on an hourly basis, they have 14 defensive linemen coming to camp. So they clearly are identifying that as an area of need, and well, they should, because they haven't had a good pass rush for 2 years.
Right now, is Calgary still the team to beat in the West, in your mind?
I don't think there's any question. You know, it's just amazing. You know, when that, you know, I think back to the Grey Cup in BC Place here, you know, 5 months ago, and watching Calgary and Hamilton go at it, and you say to yourself, as a guy who watches the Lions, gee boy, how far behind the Lions are, at least at that point they were, when you looked at how Bo Levi Mitchell was able to sort of, you know, progress as a quarterback. Now, certainly Calgary had lost a lot of talent in the last year, but it just speaks to the way in which John Huffnagel has gone about formulating his teams over the last year, that it just doesn't seem like they really lose any kind of a step. And, you know, though they've had some retirements and a couple of player moves this off season, I mean, John Cornish is still going to be there and presumably play 18 games. And if Levi Mitchell shows as good as he did towards the latter half of last year, I mean, gosh, that team looks like it's going to be strong, but so too are the Eskimos. I look at Saskatchewan as having made a ton of changes, the kinds of changes BC Lions fans, I think, probably wish. All of the changes seem to be coaches going from BC to Saskatchewan. And Winnipeg, you know, for all their weaknesses, I mean, you know, they seem to have stepped it up for Canadian talent. So I think the Lions are really in. I think they've been in the playoffs 18 straight years. It's going to be a real, real struggle for this team in a very competitive West Division to make it out of it, I think.
Well, always great to talk three-down football with you, man. We'll do it again soon. Appreciate your time.
That it is. Nice talking to you, Jason. Bye for now.